Hi and welcome back. In our second instalment of the HCE Network interview podcast, Paul talks to Jason Anker. Jason's story is both moving and inspiring, and we're delighted to have him on the show.
Next up, we're honoured to welcome Mr. Jason Anker, the Chairman and Director of Anker & Marsh. Jason Anker was paralysed from the waist down due to an avoidable incident on a construction site in 1993 when he fell off a ladder. He was 24 years old. His story of his life before the incident, the day of the incident, and the time spent in hospital and rehab gave his initial release from hospital and his struggle with life over the last 26 years in an honest and sometimes graphic account of the devastation the incident has had on Jason, his family and friends. For 26 years, he was unable to talk openly about his experience of a work-related major incident. This reflected in a story that is very raw. The emotion in which he delivers this talk is strong, as if it was the way the day of the incident actually happened. His unique story has a powerful impact and grabs the attention of those listening, from directors, managers, supervisors and operatives alike. He is willing to talk openly about his experience, the physical and psychological effects of major incident. And we are honoured today to interview him for the HSE Network, asking Jason's input and understanding of how he has realised his own health and well-being in the months prior to his accident, and a direct influence on the safety decision that he made that day.
We're honoured today to welcome Jason Anker, the director for Anker & Marsh. Welcome to Houston.
Thank you.
And I'm really excited to interview today for HSE Network and get your input and understanding of perhaps how you've realised from your own health and well-being in the months prior to your accident, which I'll let you talk a little bit more about, and the influence that's perhaps had on the safety decision you made that day. And I know you're traveling a lot, talking about your story and the incident that happened, the time that you spent in hospital and the rehab and the initial release from hospital and the struggle that you had with your life in those 26 years. And so I'm really excited to hopefully talk openly about your experience with that work-related major incident and get some feedback from you. So I have to say, firstly, you know, honestly, Jason, what I think is just amazing is what you have done and what you are doing. It's a real inspiration to myself, but to many more personally that I know. Obviously, the story itself, I'm sure people would like to know why you are on this incredible journey of inspiring and making people aware of how very easily major incidents can be prevented.
Yeah, my accident was 26 years ago. I was only 24. Very experienced, long confidence, and fell on a ladder on a building site. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those accidents that we hear keep happening. Mm-hmm. I didn't go into speaking straight away. You know, my life, I struggled, completely struggled. You know, marriage failed. I turned to drinks and alcohol, drugs and alcohol. Really, really struggled. Nearly killed myself along the way. And then 10 years ago, I started to turn my life around a little bit. I'd started water skiing and bringing my kids up. I met a guy who did behavioural safety. I listened to my story, and I was thinking, well, you know, what is that story? He's saying that you need to share the story with industry, because it's not stories of accidents that actually inspire people to do anything differently. It's stories of how accidents impact on people's lives. So obviously you talk about your own experiences, how bad your life is, but then you go into discuss your parents and your brothers and your sisters and your family and your friends and how they are affected by your accident. And what's, I wouldn't say unique about my story, but it was 26 years ago, you know, and the impact of my accident is still happening today. You know, my mum and dad really still sort of struggle, not so much with me being in a wheelchair, but what I've put through over the years when I was really struggling, I was at my worst, and hospital visits, and all the things that people are sort of aware of, but until it actually happens to them, don't know the real impact that accidents have on families.
So if I may, what do you believe were the key triggers then to the sort of poor safety decision, if you don't mind me saying? A poor safety decision you made that day?
Again, my story has all the usual things that went wrong. It was the unplanned work, end of shift, trying to do someone a favour, not wanting to say no, we can't do it. So all those things that you hear of in other accidents all the time, people just try and get the job. Instead of saying, hang on a minute, take five, let's stop what we can do safely, just going ahead, rushing in, trying to get a job done. And mine was a 2-hour job and was asked to do it in 1 hour, end of the day. And as contractors, you don't want to say no to the client. So is that the unwritten pressure being put on you that if we say no, do we get the next job? So we tried to help the client out, and obviously I had my accident. The company I was working for folded, everyone lost jobs. The project never got built because it went, you know, with bad publicity and all the knock-on effects of the accident being so serious. So just again showing the ripple effect of accidents. It's not just, you know, this was companies going bust just because of something I did on site one day. I'm sure as much as they wanted us to get the job done, they much would have preferred me to say, no, we're not doing it, and had a delay on the job than, you know, the fallout from trying to get the job done safely.
How do you best feel then, I guess, that the incident could have been prevented? And, you know, what actions do you think processes should undertake to ensure this incident or similar incidents don't replicate?
Yeah, I mean, it was 26 years ago. Things were different. You know, there's no procedures to follow. It was more or less get the job done. Yeah. However, I come from the power station industry, so even back then, things were put in place. So I gone to a job with more knowledge of working safe, however I didn't apply it. Mm-hmm. I just dropped down to the stand on the site. So where we improved today is that all these things are in place now, that people are, you know, we've gone courses, the equipment, the training, the, you know, the tickets people have to get to go on site, mm-hmm. and yet accidents still happening. So you ask yourself the question, can we just go down a line of rules and procedures to keep people safe, or do we have to look at why people are doing it in the first place? Not just making mistakes on the day, maybe looking at the well-being of people. You know, what sort of mindset are they turn up for work in the morning? Mm-hmm. Are they bringing problems from home into the workplace? You know, when people say, you know, the more skilled jobs these some people are doing, and then they're under pressure from home, or they've got financial problems, or there's other problems in their own place, and we expect them to work safely, so for 8 hours in a day. And if they break a rule or something goes wrong, straight away we look at the safety violation. You know, we look at the if there's a broken rule, a broken procedure, but we never look if the person was broken. Mm. And I think that's sort of what we're missing. We keep looking, focus on safety, safety, safety. And yet for me, safety is safety, health and well-being.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like you're on an incredible journey. And yeah, thank you very much for coming in. And really excited to hear you talk at HSE North America Congress.
Yeah,
first trip to North America.
First trip to America, yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. We can't wait. Well, thank you very much.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Jason. Wow, what a story there from Jason with some real-world examples of what can happen when safety goes wrong. If you want more content like this, head over to the HSE Network website where you can get access to the full interview and much more. See you in the next episode.